They tuck it away and run for it inside the five, and he's in for the Lions touchdown.
Barry Sanders turned around a defensive back about three times. Wow.
The guy is trying to tackle him, but he's got his back to Barry because he can't find him.
Here's a touchdown, Lions. Holy mackerel, what a run by Barry Sanders.
Detroit, there'll be a 15-yard penalty on the kickoff, but the play is not reviewable.
Welcome to another edition of the Roar of the Lions UK podcast, episode 233, Safety Measures. My name's Matthew Turner, alongside Ryan, Ant, and Steve, and Ash. How you doing, boys?
Right, it's time to get down to business. Here is dour realistic Ryan. That was not a good game, and I'm not happy.
Wait, when did we get happy optimistic Ryan? I must have missed this. Like
5 minutes ago, that was joyous Ryan. This is, like, let's be real for a minute, Ryan.
There is no Ryan, only Zool. That's who we said now from Ghostbusters.
Be very afraid.
I can only think that Stormy Daniels had a worse 40 minutes with Donald Trump than I had with the 40 minutes of Bears time of possession. That's comparable.
Oh dear God!
Me exaggerating how long he probably lasts.
I've never been able to have mushrooms in my pizza since.
Oh God! Probably lasted the length of time it takes J-Mo to run the 40.
Oh Jesus! Shall we get this back on the road? This is the Bears at Lions review show. We're going to be having a look at some news, which is basically just talking about the celebrations after yesterday. Then we're going to be going through drive by drive before finishing up with game themes and a brief discussion about Sunday's other games. But first, Discord channel was electric yesterday, and we've had some really good additions to it recently, and you should be there too. There is a link in the live chats right now. Come and join us there. Fantastic place to be all week through. College Football Podcast is coming up this week on Wednesday, looking back at Week 12's games. And it's a big one coming up, Week 13.
Yeah, it's the game. The game is happening, Michigan-Ohio State. That's always fun. So, yeah, we're going to be chatting about that. And, yeah, we got a lot to go through, as always, this week. So, yeah, join us on Wednesday. It's going to be fun.
Please don't forget to like and sub to the show and all that good stuff. And don't forget to add Lions Nation Unite on Facebook as well. Facebook.com/groups/Lions Nation Unite. Herman Moore's project to bring the best in Lions content creators together. Twitch affiliates, YouTube monetized, and a tip jar down below. If you are enjoying what you're listening to and you want to show some appreciation in that way, that'd be fantastic. There's also a feedback form on the YouTube description too. So if you want to click the link and tell us some content you'd like to come up or anything else like that, please don't be shy. And finally, our merch store is live as well. So if you want to support the show, but you want to get something back in return for your generosity, then you can get some really nice merch like Ash has done there with his lovely sweatshirt, looking very fine. All right, that is all of that gumph out of the way, and we can get on with this. So obviously the Lions pull out a ridiculous come from behind victory. And boys, I don't know if you've seen the videos yet of Dan Campbell's howl, but that is something kind of, I don't know, it spoke to me in some kind of way. And also CD Deuces, or CJGJ as he's otherwise known, his celebration on Instagram Live was something to behold. What did you make of the celebrations? Because they were, I didn't feel over the top, but they were pretty extraordinary.
That's my ringtone now.
Yeah.
Campbell's
Dan Campbell's his primal scream of rage. I think that kind of stuff hasn't been heard since Ryan McCluskey was on the terraces of Bradford City.
He's not wrong. At halftime on Saturday, I would have dangled a baby out a window like Michael Jackson. I was enraged. I would have 4-0 down, life for the world to see. It was painful.
Come up with these phrases on the fly. Like, how do you make this shit up?
The howl was every emotion I felt in the day. It felt pretty poignant at the time. It was a release. It was a, for me, it was relief. It was a, oh boy, did we pull that magic rabbit out of the old hat? I say,
were you more angry at Ash Taylor on Saturday for Bradford City or Jared Goff when he threw his third pick?
Oh, wow. I have no idea. Probably more mad when Jared Allen threw the fourth pick six, but no, I was equally as upset, but no. I felt the howl was very poignant.
It was kind of like me, that was. I hate the Bears so much at this point, and even worse fans so much at this point, that any win, like, it was just, outside of blowing them, that's the best way to do it. Let them believe that they're going to shock us and then just pull it away from them at the last moment and watch them cry and shout and kick and scream and moan and be in pain. And like, watching all the reactions today has been glorious. It's like, it's food for my soul. I just take in those tears, absorb them, and become a stronger person for it. Specifically Adam Rank, the lecherous little so-and-so. Like, he was, like, I just felt his pain made me stronger.
Yeah, just watching Justin Fields dance and then the Bears offense put 12, minus 12 yards up, 3 points, and a loss. Just shows, you try and stunt on us, we know how to punch back and make you look like an absolute fool.
Justin, memo for the future, learn the shelf stack to dance, because when Flus is done with you, that's your next job. Stacking shelves. So, does two for you there. Trains you for your future career, and you look like a tit at the same time.
And as we said on the preview show, for anyone watching, that since Ryan Poles declared that his aim was to be, you know, king of the North, they are 0-9 in divisional games.
Shame. Ding, 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 shame. Anyway, as he's dragged through the streets of Chicago. Actually, that's probably the least of what they want to do to him, to be honest. Shocking performance. Anyway, let's go through this one. And it finished up, as we know, Lions 31, Bears 26. How did we win by five? Stupid game. Anyway, Justin Fields had a pretty good stat line, actually, for himself, considering it was his first game back from injury. 16 of 23 for 169 and a touchdown, and 18 carries for 104 yards. Rest of the team are pretty dire on the ground. 16 for 35 for Herbert, 6 for 30 for Roshon Johnson, and 6 for 14 and a touchdown for Donta Foreman. He also had a fumble. In the receiving game, the Bears were led by DJ Moore, who had 7 of 9 for 96 and a touchdown, but no one else had more than 24 yards in the air for them. Lions on offense, Goff was 23 of 35 for 236, two touchdowns, three interceptions on the ground. David Montgomery, 12 for 76 and a tutty. Jahmyr Gibbs, 8 for 36 and a tutty. And in the receiving game, led by Amon Ra St. Brown, who else? He had 8 of 11 for 77 and a touchdown. Jahmyr Gibbs had 6 of 6 for 59. And Jameson Williams had 2 of 3 for 44 and a touchdown. On defense, on turnovers, Reynolds coughed up the ball on a kickoff, and Tyler Scott also gave up a fumble, as well as Justin Fields late. Alex Anzalone recovered a fumble for us, and DeMarcus Gates for the Bears. Interceptions, of course, there were three. Tremaine Edmonds, Tyreek Stevenson, and TJ Edwards had those for Chicago. On defense, Chicago led in tackles by TJ Edwards with 9. They had 2 sacks, one by Jack Sanborn, one by Montez Sweat. The Lions were led on defense by Alex Anzalone with 15 tackles. They had 2 sacks, one by Aiden Hutchinson, one by Aleem McNeil, and they had 7 other tackles for a loss, including 3 by Byron Branch, one by Derek Barnes, one by Cameron Sutton, one by Josh Pascal, and one by Quinton Bohanna. The kickers were perfect, 3 of 3 for Riley Patterson, 6 of 6 for Cairo Santos. And Jack Fox, give him a little bit of a shout-out for a 60-yard punt, which I think turned momentum late in the game, especially with a flag for a block in the back late. It really set the Bears back and gave the Lions a good field position for that second-to-last drive. Boys, when you have a look at those stats, especially the time of possession stat, which I'll just bring up exactly now. The Bears had 14 minutes and 24 seconds of possession to the Lions' 19 minutes and 36. However, in terms of total yards, the Lions were ahead. What story does the overall stats paint a picture of, do you think?
That we're a lot better. Really. And it's boneheaded mistakes that sort of is the reason that's... You can't turn the ball over four times in a game, usually, and get away with it. But what it shows is when we were going, we were just a lot... We were a much better side. And weirdly and retrospectively, I think that the league is going to regret us winning this game. Because I can't remember the last time we won a bad game, like when we played really bad and we still were able to win. Like, this team now, you saw it yesterday with Campbell and the way they think. They can win any type of game they want now, whether they go out and blow a team away, whether they go out and win a high-scoring game. They can now play bad and they've still got the mental fortitude to grift it out. Like, you know, you have 56 bad minutes. Well, not bad, but you have 56 poor minutes in one game. And then in 4 minutes, you've erased it. You have four good drives, two on each side of the ball. You're done. It's great. And so, yeah, it shows me that we're better. I think they had a really good game plan for us. And, you know, we struggled. But ultimately, when you're doing so much with so little, it shows that you do have an insane amount of talent in your side.
Yeah, I think for me, the biggest takeaway from this is a massive wake-up call in terms of where we need to be to be in the playoffs. Because the thing about the Bears is they had a really good game plan, as Ant says, and they'd obviously, like, you know, schemed up something. Like the first drive, they went through us like a knife through butter. I was talking to Ryan from the Chicago, Bear Down Chicago podcast before the game, and I said, like, we're really vulnerable to a mobile QB, and we've never fixed that. Aaron Glenn's never fixed that issue. And I said, so if Fields runs on us, we're going to be super vulnerable because we always seem to have to make late adjustments. We never seem to start a game well. But the Bears bottled this, and Luke Getsy bottled it by the more they got ahead, the more defensive his offense became, the less kind of balls out, go for it. They just became really, really timid. The difference is, if we were playing the Eagles or the 49ers in January, they're not going to score a field goal when they get hold of the ball. They're going to score a touchdown. And those field goals that the Bears kicked when, you know, I said they bottled it, it's not going to happen against better teams. And that's where we need to be a lot better. And yeah, it's all very well saying our defense held them to field goals, but it's the Bears. You know, it's the freaking Bears. Other teams aren't going to do that. So we really need to. And I know we were going back and forth like during the game about whose fault this was, but I was just really concerned about the defense and how easily they kind of marched up the field on several occasions. So that for me is the biggest takeaway.
If I'm a Chicago Bears fan, I'm probably distraught I didn't win. We got lucky. I said a better team would have been out of sight. And I agree, yeah. Their play calling was terrible with 4 minutes to go. It was reminiscent of some Jim Bob Cooter shit. Like, trying to kill 3 minutes and 30 seconds, what do? We went run, 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 pass, missed, gave the ball back, killed 40 seconds. I was like, I felt sorry for him because I was like, I've been there, I've worn that T-shirt, I've seen that. That loses games. And I think Justin Fields played fantastic, to be honest. Some bad throws, but honestly, I've got more respect for him now than I did the previous times we've met him. I think he can be the future of them. I think he's being held back by a completely incompetent coaching staff. But for everything that we did poorly for three quarters, you can't lose a game in three quarters, but you can win a game in the last 4 minutes. and we fell on the right side of the coin when it was time to go hurry up and 2 minute drill, where we really do come alive in those scenarios. We kind of always have done. We did it when it mattered, and it just kind of all clicked. And you just wonder what was, where was all that timing? Where were the issues in the first half? Like say, where it kind of, everything was just a little bit off. Everything was just a little bit second or a couple of seconds out. But yeah, teams, previous Lions teams would not have won this game. Like they wouldn't even have got close in the end, or they'd have turned the ball over right to death and got our hopes up and then crushed them. But yeah, it was a satisfying win to snatch victory from jaws of defeat. It was also a bit of cold water to the face that there are some things that we got to fix, and quickly, that the last 2 weeks we have crept into our game, and they've kind of needed to pull out these miracle late game winning drives. We should be making life a lot more easier for ourselves. But to paraphrase, you never apologise for a win because they're so hard to come by. And I think that probably sums up that performance more than anything I've ever heard. They pushed us all the way, a lot closer than some teams have this season. And I think the Bears are closer than further away to at least being a pain in the ass for a couple of years. So yeah, very satisfying victory, because the Bears fans somehow are more insufferable today than they were yesterday. And they lost the fucking game. I don't know. They must live under a rock. They do my head in. How can they have a bigger chip on the shoulder after we beat you? And they're saying we should be embarrassed because of how we clawed a victory. We have to turn the ball over so many times. You took the ball away 3+ more times and lost. Look in the mirror. Have some shame. Have some shame, Bears fans. And if you're watching, whatever your name is on Twitter, EJ, you big fucking gobshite. Everyone knows who you are. Fucking shut up. No one likes you. You treat like a dick.
Ash, you've had a little bit of time to sleep on it after we chatted yesterday. What do you feel about the game?
I completely agree with the take so far about the offense. Like, schemed up really well at the start, scripted plays. As soon as it came to calling off script stuff and adapting situations, Getsy just reverted to a game plan like it's the late night, like it's the 1990s. Just very simple. And then on defense for our side, we were kind of in a no-win situation for me. Either you play man and you try and contain Fields and DJ Moore or Darnell Mooney or Cole Kmet gets open and Fields has got an easy completion, or try and play zone to try and minimise that. They still sometimes get open, but you also just give Fields a bit more time, because when we played man, we were a bit more aggressive with the pass rush. But as soon as we went to zone, we were just rushing for all the time. It was just so simple for Fields to sort of step up into the pocket, find himself some space and deliver a ball. We just didn't mix it up. We didn't give in Fields enough, didn't get enough pressure on Fields. Sounds stupid when that's the obvious thing we did last year against them. Rushed five, put in weird looks out to confuse him. This week it was just vanilla. Like, we didn't do that much. The only real adjustment we made from like the past couple of weeks is putting Branch in the box, and that worked. But him and Hutch can't carry a defense all by themselves. We needed the linebackers to actually make their tackles. Like, I kind of jinxed it in the preview by saying Jack Campbell had not missed a tackle so far this season, and he misses two in the opening drive. Like, and so they played well in parts, but there was always just someone missing their assignment, someone just making one mistake, and it was allowing the Bears to make plays. And that's part of the reason they were ahead for so long, because they were just able to convert a second down either because of a missed tackle, or they were getting to a third down and then they'll be a bit of laundry on the play for something. They always just found a way to convert well for us. We shot ourselves in the foot, but then managed to overcome it. When we come to Dallas, potentially the Vikings, if Josh Dobbs still going on, the playoffs, whoever we face, we can't do that because we'll be one and done. The whole point of this season now is to win the division and win a playoff game. And it's going to be mightily disappointing right now if we don't do both of those things. And I'm scared over the past couple of weeks, including the Ravens game, last week with the shootout against the Chargers, and this week, there is a bit more variation where I can see how teams can beat us rather than just us not having their talent. We could make it easier for those teams to beat us, and that's not what I want.
Right. Just to pick up on that, I think that was really good analysis from Ash. And, you know, if you think about, one of the plays that I eyeballed was the DJ Moore touchdown pass. And I think it was the first time in the game that Jerry Jacobs had been one-on-one with their wide receiver one with no safety help, and he got burnt. And, you know, I know I've criticised Jerry before. He's played really, really well the last few weeks. But it's that kind of like mistake. But when we play, you know, if we play the 49ers, there's going to be someone's got to cover Debo and someone's got to cover Brandon Ayuk. And he is going to be left one-on-one. And if he makes those kind of mistakes, as you said, we're one and done. So that's where we've got to really sharpen up.
Yeah. So that play he did, because I've seen it and I was thinking that he was expecting Kirby to be down the inside. He allows DJ Moore the inside shade because he thinks Kirby's there, but Kirby's shifted over and just gets burnt. We saw it against Keenan Allen. We were playing the single high likes and Allen either found the hole between the linebackers and Kirby in the zones or he expected safety help. Kirby was just a bit out of position and he burns whichever corner he was against. It's a real big problem right now.
Yeah. Let me take you through the drive summary that I've put together, and we'll kind of do this in order. So the Bears start off on offense and a really nice designed run for Fields on second and 10 to get 11 off left tackle. Next play is an RPO keeper for 8. Next play extends with his legs, finds DJ Moore, who beat Jerry Jacobs, but loads of time to have to cover there. It's not really on him. Then Campbell misses Kmet on a tackle for a first down. Lovely throw to Equanimeous St-Brown on a play-action pass, play-action run. Hutch blocked off by a wide receiver. I know his momentum was taking him upfield, but that was a bit laughable. And then finished off by a zone read to Donta Foreman for a touchdown from the 1 yard line. PAT is good. Bears up by 7. Lions then try and respond. And the first drive is not too bad to begin with. Goff play-action pass to Amroth for 8 on the sideline. Monty ran for 4 for the first down. Play-action pass throwaway. And then Monty slithers through for 5 on 3rd and 5 in empty. Nice pass on the far sideline and a quick out for 9 to, I think that was Amroth and Brown as well. Monty then off right tackle for 5 yards. So we're kind of on their 40 or 45 at this point. Progressing pretty nicely. 2nd and 5, interception. Sam LaPorta runs straight into a DB or a linebacker. I can't remember who it was now that he contacted. Does anyone recall?
It was TJ Edwards.
Thank you. Yeah, so they both just run into each other. No one really at fault, but Goff throws the timing route and gets picked off by the... I'm going to get it wrong now.
Tyreke.
Yeah, Miami, is he from?
Yeah, Miami Hurricane. Yeah.
There we go, Tyreke Stevenson. Yeah, so that was the pick. I'll go for another drive each, and then that's a half of this half. So the Bears take over, but somewhat in their territory. Campbell again misses a tackle on Cole Kmet. That matchup seemed to be quite bad for him. Fields on a zone read. He kept it. Great tackle by Alex Anzalone to prevent a big gain. Julian Aquara and Barnes then combine for a TFL on Herbert. Kmet doesn't convert with a great tackle by Alex Anzalone, but on 4th and 2, just outside field goal range, they run a pick play, and Jacobs and Campbell run into each other, allows DJ Moore an easy completion for like 6 or 7. Branch then has a great TFL on Donta Foreman, blitzing from the nickel. Not the first time he did that. That was a loss of 6. But then Fields, with a deep shot to DJ Moore, which could have been a touchdown because he beat Jerry Jacobs, but this time he missed it. Not like the next time that Steve was referring to. 3rd and 16, Kamish then blocks a pass. And despite the interception, we force a punt, which is into the end zone, only 24 net yards. And we come out again at our 25. Our next possession, another interception for the Lions. So it starts off with a 3rd and 10. Great throw to Josh Reynolds for 11. Gets tackled around the head. Not sure that shouldn't have been flagged. Anyway, a play action pass deep to Josh Reynolds again then. And Jalen Johnson with the worst DPI. Just awful, awful play. That gives us 40. So we flip the field once again. Holding on Colby Sawstall sets us back 10. So on 1st and 20, then the interception. And Goff has like all day to throw and just throws it straight to TJ Edwards targeting DPJ. Like boneheaded error that I don't know what to say about it. That rookie players on Madden make when they don't know what else to do. Like it just sparked of like, I'll do this. I don't know what to do. I'll do this. Like, come on, mate. So two drives for the Lions, both ended interceptions. Defense actually steps up in the second drive, even though the first drive was really poor, folks. 7-0 Bears at this point, and they've just got the ball back. It felt like the house was crumbling, though. I should probably direct these questions at someone to get this started. Otherwise, with five of us, it's not going to work. Steve?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, the first Bears drive, they just went through us, like, really, really easily. And it was worrying, and you know, we kind of made Fields look good. And I think that's the thing with someone like Fields, if you give him a bit of confidence, you could see that like he was up for it once he'd made a couple of throws. And yeah, we seemed hesitant in terms of the pass rush. We didn't seem to be spying him very well. He seemed to have plenty of lanes to run in. Our run defense was decent, but you know, it all seemed to be relying on the, you know, the safeties to make plays. And you know, when you've got someone like DJ Moore, he is a class wide receiver one. So for me, the defense felt a bit shaky, and then I just don't know what I got into Goff. Like, I really don't, because that's been very, very unlike him.
Brian?
It was like a tale of two halves. Like, we made terrible sloppy errors, and then we stemmed the bleeding, like I say, with some decent stops. So we've given the ball away twice, and for all intents and purposes, we could have been a lot further behind than we were. So that was probably the gleaming, redeeming thing of it all. Yeah, I've had the argument with a lot of people on Twitter. In one pass interference, I said that for the first interception. They do just generally run into each other. He's looking at Goff. They do say it was unavoidable. And yeah, throws a ball where he thought it was going to be. I can live with that one. The second one, like, yeah, that was just like Jared Goff went like full on doofy from a scary movie. Like, just ridiculous. Like, stares down receiver in a hole, and TJ Edwards is a good athletic middle linebacker, and he might as well have put a fucking bow on it. It was a gift. Like I say, most of the drives where we're on defense, like we were tackling fresh air. The angle, like, I don't like to play his back out, but Jack Campbell had a horrible game. He was flat out horrible, and he's great at showing up. He was grasping at fresh air for most of the game, taking poor angles, trying to go too high, trying to just grab at feet, like not breaking down and prepare himself. Like, it was a stinker by his standards for someone that we drafted to cover tight ends. And I think Cole Kmet's one of the brightest future tight ends of the league. The guy's a stud, I'll give him that. But yeah, he had Jack's number for most of the day. It was a struggle matchup. Alex, though, was fantastic. Yeah, Brian, Kirby. Kirby's had two terrible weeks. Even with an exception, I think that, like I said, he is not helping Jerry. And when Jerry is left on an island, well, bad things happen, don't they? I'm adamant he's got to be replaced. And I'm saying first round next year, I'm going to get a cornerback, someone I can trust to put on an island. Because I love Jerry, but there are times where he needs his hand-holding. And he's a great cornerback too, and I'll pay him and I'll keep him, but I'm looking at someone that I can trust against more against the receiver one. And yeah, DJ is a good guy. Yeah, he made life difficult for him, beat him a few times. We stopped them up the middle, our run defense, Bohanna, Ali McNeil, Stalwarts in the middle. They couldn't get a lot going up there, which was good to see. Because we've seen that before where we've been torched. But at this point, I am very happy we're, 7-0 down? It feels a relief to have turned the ball over twice, basically both of them like at midfield as well, and given the ball in great field position. So the defense did a good job, because I've already seen it's going to be a long day and they're going to be on the field a long time. They're going to be knackered.
And it felt somewhat fortuitous we weren't further down at this point.
Yeah, we just seem to have like an eternal problem with the Bears on first drives. I mean, they did the same to us at Soldier Field like last year. As was mentioned earlier, I guess he seems to be very creative and he seems to be very difficult to predict when they start a game, because they just come out and take loads of different shots that you give you loads of different looks and we struggle to deal with it. We adjust eventually and we do every game, but, you know, we just have issues there. But, you know, like the first few drives for us, that's the reason why the Any Given Sunday moniker exists in the NFL. The margins for error are so small. You can have the best offense in the NFL, but just one day you come out a little bit cold, you're not quite in rhythm, the timing's not there, just little things, you know, can make big differences. That's why you don't ever disregard a win in this league, because the margins are so fine. And for us, we had one of those days. Like I said, the offense was, it looked good for the most part. Like, play calling was good. We were getting positive yardage. They weren't really putting Goff under much threat. It was just two little mental errors at the end of the day. And that's all it takes to turn the ball over. And then all of a sudden, the way they play, you know, you take 5-6 minutes off the clock, the game's going, then all of a sudden that pressure just ramps up a little bit. So, you know, it felt like a lot of things came together for us at once early on. Say, just defense just started a bit slow, a couple of little mistakes on offense, and before you know it, a quarter's gone, you're struggling, and it's up to you to get out that funk. But games are four quarters. So, you know, even after that first, you're like, right, we have the quality to get it going. We do. It's just, we're just going to wait for that to happen. And eventually we've got a spark. But yeah, it wasn't great. But I wasn't overly concerned. It's not like we were creating egregious errors that were really concerning me. It was just little things.
Ash, we obviously put ourselves in a hole after that first interception. And although they made a completion on fourth down, Alex Anzalone had a couple of good tackles. Branch had the huge TFL. We had the commish block pass to force the punt. You know, that defense really struggled on the first drive, but there were some really big plays on that second one.
Yeah, I remember saying as much on the stream. Like, the first drive was like, okay, scripted, this happens. I know we've given up 6 straight touchdown drives, but it's going to be fine. That's what the Bears do. And it showed it on the second one. We made some adjustments. And for the most part, he managed to shut down their offense. It's just Goff just had the spirit of Sam Darnold possess him for 3 quarters, seeing ghosts out there, and it did hurt us. That first one, yeah, okay. Laporta, I hate putting most of the blame on him, but he's running towards the hook zone defender. He should be able to sort of see that that's what the linebacker's doing. And cut his route a bit short, so he's just going in front of the defender. No, instead, he just runs into the defender. Goff, because it's a timing route, he thinks that Laporta's going to get open, throws it, and Stevenson makes a really good play, which pains me, because obviously, as we usually say, because obviously I loved him in the draft process, despite him being a Miami Hurricane. Painful to watch one of my guys sort of make a play against us. But that second one that Goff threw, don't know what the hell he was thinking. Like, as you said, that's me when I'm getting desperate on Madden, because I'm running around with Goff trying to play hero ball, just lobbing it somewhere. Like, it was not good at all. Like, he made a great throw a couple of throws before for that DPI call. It was just so hit and miss. It was like early 2021 Goff, where all he had to throw to was Khalif Raymond and the ghost of Rashad Perriman. It was back to that for our 3 quarters, and it was a bit concerning, but hopefully... Well, he's shown he can shake it off before, but we need to see that on Thursday now. We need to see this season Goff back rather than 2021 Goff, because otherwise things might go a bit worse than the last stretch for the season than we were hoping.
Moving it on for the rest of this half, Bears take over after the interception. That one, I think, was on the Bears' side of the field, but only just, maybe on their 45 or something like that. And Fields with his own read keeper, which seemed to just work all day. When they did it, they went away from it later. God knows why. We'll talk about that later as well. But on this particular one, Fields with the zone read, Hutchinson came up and took the running back. Branch had the quarterback. We hammered both of them. It was great to watch. That was for a loss of two. Then they took a delay of game for 2nd and 17. Throw under pressure to Tyler Scott on a crosser, and Cam Sutton with the most clean little punch out you ever see, recovered by Alex Anzalone on the ground, who was on the ground with his back to the ball when the ball is on the floor. So how Alex Anzalone comes away with this, I have absolutely no idea, but he's the one who runs away with it. And the Lions bail us out of another turnover, two turnovers, no points for the Bears at this point. So the Lions take over, very much in Bears territory. Goff with a play action keeper, goes down for a slide for four. Monty goes for three on 3rd and 3. Shotgun delayed handoff to Gibbs. And it's almost like a screen. I don't know if you guys have seen this play, but it's in shotgun with Gibbs next to him. And Goff takes a snap, poises to throw, and then hands it off. And all the offensive line have got upfield already. You've got Decker about 10 yards up, Sewell about 5 yards up. It works like a perfect little screen, and he gets about 10 on that one. Monty then goes wildcat. What the hell's happening here? And then Monty up the middle for one. 3rd down and 5, inside toss to Amara St. Brown for 6, 1st and goal from the 2, and then another big moment for Jared Goff. Amara St. Brown in the backfield in shotgun runs a quick little corner, turns back for the ball, Goff throws it, good timing, but fantastic read by Jalen Johnson, who just drops it, and if he picks that one, it's a pick 6, he's going 99 yards to the house. We're really fortunate that one doesn't come back. And then straight after that, Goff on a counter toss to Gibbs, who walks in for the touchdown. So all the offensive line go right. Sam LaPorta stays out as a sole receiver on the left-hand side and blocks his one man, and Gibbs just saunters in. PAT is good. 7-7 tie ball game. Bears, though, respond with a field goal drive. Nice tackle by Barnes and Walker on Herbert. 3rd and 5, crosser to Herbert, and he doesn't get there initially, but he like slides on Branch in the air to just make the first down. Fields with a great play action pass to Mooney under pressure for about 20 on 3rd and 2. He had a design run, and Jacobs brought him down after a gain of only 1. But on 4th and 1, Roshon Johnson goes up the middle for 3. It felt like that 4th and 1 play, even though they really struggled to run, that they were converting that, which was a real frustration. Fields' play action pass to Moore was almost picked by Brian Branch. I mean, he had his hands on the ball in front of DJ Moore. Fantastic play by Brian. And then Quinton Bohanna got his TFL, came straight through the middle on Donta Foreman. But on 3rd and 12, Lions call cover 0. They pick it up, gets the ball just to DJ Moore. Kirby has him by the ankles, but can't bring him down. He wriggles free and gets 13 for the first down. And then Fields slides on a design run for a loss of 1. He almost then gets sacked, but stumbles across for 5. On 4th and 6, field goal's good from 31, making it 10-7 Chicago. But they leave 2 minutes on the clock for the Lions. And the Lions do what Lions do when it comes to crunch time at the end of the half or the end of the game. Goff dumps it off to Amara for 10, slamped to Amara for 10, dump off to Gibbs for 9, throw away under pressure. But on 3rd and 1, big throw over the middle to Jameson Williams, one of the plays of the game for me, for 12 yards. Goff with a quick throw to Gibbs versus the blitz for 8 on the far sideline. Then a screen to Gibbs versus the blitz, very similar looking play straight after that, for 14 down to the 9-yard line. Goff hands it off to Gibbs at this point with a timeout in his pocket, which really surprised me, but that was the last timeout. And then a lovely low throw on 3rd and goal from the 9 to Amon-Ra St. Brown, picks up off his toenails. That's a touchdown for the Lions. PAT is good. And we walk in at the end of the first half up 14-10. Boys, we're here now. No points off the turnovers allowed. Fantastic 2-minute drill gone through. The offense is kind of humming too. Like, it felt scarily okay at this point, from my perspective anyway, even though we let them have that field goal where we almost had them but didn't, just several times, 3rd downs, 4th downs, they were getting them, and we still held them to a field goal. And then we're in the lead going into the half. I'll go in reverse order now. Ash, 4 points up at half time felt almost unjustified, but pretty bloody happy with it.
Yeah, we really were. Well, as you know, because obviously you did your usual halftime stuff, and I was stuff into the chat, and instead of bemoaning things, I was talking to them about cricket and such. So we were in a good mood then. I thought everything was getting better. Goff had thrown off the yips, and the offense starting to hum. The defense had finally worked out what to do against Justin Fields and such. And we were going to hopefully just cruise after that first bad quarter. We're going to cruise to a nice victory, and it's all going to be nice and calm. But little did I realise we were just in the calm of the storm, and the third quarter was coming to strike its fear back into us once a blood again.
And, I mean, first drive of this little quarter of the quarter of the game, you had the Cam Sutton turnover. Then a really nice play design on that counter toss to Gibbs to get our own touchdown. And then we held them to a field goal and got a 2-minute drill. It felt like we really turned it around in that second quarter.
Yeah, and it's what good teams do. They can shake off bad parts in a game. It just takes one drive, just takes one little moment, one turnover, get your momentum back, you get the crowd back, and then all of a sudden it all starts to fall into place. And yeah, I really like that about this team. Like, they've just shown time after time after time they can bounce back mentally, whether it be a loss, whether it be a bad part of the game, etc. And they say they scrapped hard. They realised they would have to do that. They dragged us into a street fight and they got down and dirty and they did the work that they needed to with it. And, you know, we know how good the offence is. And they say just two little mistakes. You know, when you're not making those mistakes, the offence is as good as it's always been. And, you know, the play calling was really great. They weren't able to do a lot of matter about it. So, you know, both sides of the ball work in tandem. You get the win, you get the lead at the half. Yeah, you feel that maybe it's not just five, but, you know, to be honest, I don't care. You know, you take the points when you can get them. I like a lot of what I see. Obviously, the defense, that they've got to cut out the shitty tackling. Like, it's bad and it needs to get better. Because you gave up some downs you shouldn't have, and like I said, better teams would have punished us. The more one, you can't be doing that, Kirby. You've got to take him down. You can't let him escape like that. Again, if that was the 49ers, they'd have scored a touchdown, and that would have been on him. And there's other guys who made mistakes as well, which you just can't do either. I wasn't overly enamoured with how little pressure we were getting on Fields. We did get some hits on him, but it's still concerning given the length of that, you know, how good that offensive line is, which is not very, outside of a couple of their guys. We were struggling, but, you know, overall, I think we did well. We had a really good passage of play. You get in before halftime, or you put all that bad juju behind you, and, you know, you've got to admire that. So, you know, I was happy with the way they bounced back, and to be up at the half is a good thing.
Brian, I don't know if you felt like I did that Jameson conversion on third down and that 2-minute drill felt like a really significant play in the game.
Yeah, because up until this point, we've not done well on third down. And in the last 2 weeks, it's reared its ugly head again. Third downs, we've had, not necessarily not converting them, but it's gone from like usually like third and three to sometimes third and a mile, like some of the olden days, which is annoying. But yeah, Jameson, yeah. First time he'd been targeted, I think it was, at that point. Yeah. So, like, they kind of slept on him. Like, they probably just, like, taken him for granted, the defence, that they're not throwing to him. But he found a nice little cushion. He got absolutely blasted as well, didn't he, by Andy Jackson, when he caught the ball. That was that pass, wasn't it, where he got rocked and he hung on to it? Some lesser guys would have probably coughed that ball up. But, yeah, for all the annoying stuff the defense did and how much it irritated me, no points off of turnovers. Like I say, they bailed out and they wiped the offense's ass really good. And then when it came down to it, like a couple of minutes left in the half, the offense woke up, find a little bit of a spark. Like I say, Amon-Ra out of the backfield. Right. The player where Jalen Johnson should have picked that. It was a terrible throw. Like, Jalen, he sat on the route and he was just waiting. I'm just going to break on that ball. And both fingers, luckily, made a big fucking hash of it, which was quite funny. Oh, if that goes the other way, different game. But luckily, we live to fight another day, score on the next player. And I feel like that was a big momentum swing, us scoring after them having another possible takeaway. But yeah, like, it just seems like in the end of games and the end of first halves, like when it feels like there's so much pressure, they just kind of thrive with it. We've been backed into a corner and we just thrive with it. And yeah, if I was a man of disposable income, I would have put my fist through my computer screen when Kirby fucked that tackle up, because I would imagine it was his face. It's like that was a big no-no. like I said, that could have gone for a lot further. So yeah, Caio Santos is a good kicker, good range. They snuck in, like I say, he was money on most of them. And then, yeah, right at the half, they leave too much time on the clock. And when you leave too much time on the clock, bad things happen to teams that play Detroit. Great march down the field, like I say, and Jared Goff, puts it the other place. Either Amon Ra gets it or no one gets it. And we turn it over and downs, like I said. And it was we will go for it every down and we will risk going into the half with no kind of point scenario. But yeah, threw a bullet into the ground and he scooped it up. And do I think we deserve the lead? Questionable. But good teams don't always feel like they deserve to be in the lead. They just find ways to take it. So yeah, right now they're still in the game. We've got our noses in front. I pray to God, I wish we'd stop deferring the coin toss. Like, if we win it next week, can we just have the ball for once? Because I'm sick of opening the third quarter. Feels like we do it every time we win the toss.
Steve, what did he make of this passage of play? A lot happened.
I think Ryan makes a really good point on that throw by Goff. I think that the one that Jalen Johnson, the pick he dropped, was possibly his worst throw of the game because it was so obvious that he was sitting on his route and he was just going to jump it. And Goff just absolutely took the bait. And, you know, it really was an easy pick. I can't believe he dropped it and he would have taken it to the house. And yeah, I mean, then, you know, we get a real break with that. And then what you then see is Ben Johnson at his best. You know, and this is the reason why we're going to really struggle to hold on to Ben Johnson, because other teams are going to look at the way we carved through the Bears in that 2-minute drill, like it was so easy. And, you know, at that point, I kind of never thought that it was in doubt we were going to put points on the board, because, like I said, they just opened them up. And that's when Ben Johnson's at his best. But it's like, why do we need to be in that kind of pressure situation? Like, we need to find a way that we can play like that from, like, the first snap of the game.
I mean, it would be so easy, but me and Ash were talking about it, and I was going mad at the Bears' defense because they just decided to play soft zone and we were just dumping it off every time. And Ben seemed to have a really good idea of when the Bears were going to blitz so that Goff just quickly got it out to Gibbs versus that. But otherwise, they're almost all checkdowns. Like, it wasn't like we were beating them for 20 yards each time. They just have so much time on the clock. They left too much time on the clock to play a soft zone as they did. And we'll come on to the Bears play calling later, but it was egregiously bad.
It was like 9 yards, 12 yards, 11 yards. It was just so easy. And yeah, clutch catch by JMO. Great catch for the TD. And yeah, we absolutely went into that halftime. You know, I was just like, we've absolutely burgled the Bears here. We've absolutely stolen this half.
All right, going into the second half then. Lions started off and Monty had a big run up the middle and bounced out for 20. He was actually forced inside by Tyreek Stevenson, where he had help from Brisker. It looked very much like the 75-yard touchdown run from last week, apart from he was forced back inside. If he could have bounced around the outside of Tyreek, it would have been a carbon copy of the same play.
Sorry, did you just say Brisker?
I thought it was Brisker.
Yeah, I hadn't noticed him for the whole game.
Oh, dear.
Supposedly the best safety in the NFC, according to a lot of Bears fans, but made no impact. I don't know what you guys thought, but
I thought he was all right. I don't know. I thought James Johnson had a terrible game, but he was rated highly, apparently. I don't know how. He had a 73 grade. He had a massive DPI. He had a drop pick six, and he didn't do anything otherwise. But anyway, never mind. This play, even though we went for 20 on that Monty run, on third and one near midfield, in territory where you're going to go for it on fourth down, Jack Sanborn has a lovely blitz around the outside of Penei Sewell. Sewell's taking the inside guy, so it's not his man, but Goff doesn't see him coming. He can't throw it away, takes a sack, and we have to punt, unfortunately. And then the Bears come, and the center gets injured. I don't know whether it's before the half, but they bring in Feeney instead of Cody Whitehair. So Whitehair, who was benched from last week as the center, they end up putting a guard to snap instead of him. So they must really not like him right now. So he's the one snapping, and it did cause issues throughout the rest of the game. But Fields, in this next play, extends it, gets it to DJ Moore for 13. Branch then again, coming out like a bullet with a huge tackle for a loss for 6 yards versus Khalil Herbert, forcing 3rd and 10. A delay of game taken because the centre can't get the snap off. 3rd and 15, deep for Mooney is incomplete. Branch has illegal touching, minimal contact on it. I mean, I don't know whether you're allowed to. Is it a non-contact sport? I don't know anymore. But that gives them a new set of downs. Roshon Johnson with a 14-yard run. Stiff arms Jack Campbell in the head, and it's like, oh, geez, it's one of those days. But then they go false start because the centre doesn't snap the ball. Alex Anzalone has a great tackle on Khalil Herbert on a short catch. 3rd and 11, they hand it off to Johnson for 5, settling for a 53-yard field goal, which is good. Lions lead 14-13. On our next possession, Craig Reynolds fumbles the kickoff, and he's coming out like a bat out of hell. He is going for it full pelters. And Tyreek Stevenson, who already has a pick, just manages to get his helmet straight on the ball. And Craig goes down like he's been shot. Like, he's in a world of trouble. I don't know if we've had an update as to his injury status. I don't think so. But he looked like he was in a really bad way. It's a terrific play by Stevenson. Lots of people had a lot of bad stuff to say about Craig after that play. But when the defender gets his head on the ball like that, you've got no chance, basically. So great play by the Bears. And they punish us. So very much on our side of the field. Fields with his own read keeper. Alex Anzalone, heavy, kind of chucks him out on the sideline. Bears players did not like it, but fuck him. Barnes with a 1-yard tackle for a loss on Herbert. Hutch held on a field scramble, sets them back a bit. But then Fields with an absolute beautiful pass over the top, what we talked about earlier. DJ Moore beating Jerry Jacobs again. No safety help over the top. 39-yard touchdown. PAT is good. Bears up now by 6, 20-14. And then the full meltdown. Lions 7th possession. Goff play action pass to Gibbs for a first down. Really nice design. But then on 3rd and 6, Goff interception. Tipped at the line by Gervin Dexter. And picked by Terrell Edmonds for his... Is that his third? That's his third. So that's the end of the turnovers for the Lions, thankfully. But boys, we're down 6. And the Bears have the ball again just after the DJ Moore touchdown, the Craig Reynolds fumble. It feels like from, you know, being up at the half that we're in a world of trouble again in this third quarter. Steve, it's all going wrong again.
Yeah, I don't think you can place much blame on Craig Reynolds because it was just like a perfect hit, like, you know, helmet straight to the gut. Knocked out the ball and clearly, like, knocked all the wind out of him. I'm sure he's probably nursing his ribs this morning. And yeah, we've talked about the TD, or, you know, we talked about it a bit before, but yeah, like, Jerry really needs help when he's up against a wide receiver one and he's like, you know, man coverage one-on-one. He really needs the safety help. And I think, did you say it was Kirby, Ash, that just didn't make it across?
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, that's, and that's the thing with the NFL. It's, you know, a blink of an eye and you're in a hole. And that's what happened to us. And, you know, when we're in the playoff situation, these holes are going to be a lot deeper to dig ourselves out of, and we can't afford to do shit like that.
Ryan?
The third quarter. Start a petition to make the NFL games on 3 quarters. We'd be Super Bowl champions by now if the third quarter didn't exist. Lots of irritating things. Like Sam Bourne's sack, Goff hangs onto the ball way too long. He doesn't even realise he's there. Like, he had a chance to get rid of it. He wanted all day. Reynolds, fortunately, I can't cover him a credit. He sacrificed ball security for speed. He went from carrying it like a Fabergé egg to basically like a Warburton's toasty loaf. Like, he was... That ball was not tucked tight. It was a glance, like I said, to the midriff, coughed it up. Take Craig off special teams. Like, ugh, got bear guys for that. Like, ugh. That was irritating. That was just very glaringly obvious that was going to happen, something like that. Then, golf interception. tipped, but if you look from behind it, it still would have never got to its route anywhere. It was still going straight to TJ Edwards. I'm pretty sure the tip made the ball a bit back wobbly, but it was still pretty much an errant throw, even if it's not tipped. I think it's still going in the breadbasket. Things like this just, I don't know, something needs addressing. Coming out of the half, week after week, playing like dog shit, it's not acceptable. And it don't matter the opponent. Like, we've been deferred multiple times, and we started the third quarter terribly. We just go into the dressing room, and do we just come out cold? And I say, lackadaisical, and yeah, then Kirby Joseph, like I say, can't get over, help Jerry, Moore's dusted him, and next thing we've gone from momentum, and we've gone in like the Bears, we've stolen the lead, and then we come out of the half, and it's like they've stolen all our candy. Baby's crying, mum's trying to kill him. Third quarter BS again. And it's just so frustrating that we just cannot seem to string together the end of one half and the start of another without looking like a totally different side. And this is why we just so dependent on like how we finish halves, because we're starting too slow. Some games and a lot of second halves, and I don't know, it can't be the halftime routine because he wouldn't let that level of complacency, but it's not something that can just be ignored. It's become glaringly obvious in recent weeks, and yeah, we find ourselves behind, and we know that they're not going away. That was their message to them, saying, we're here, we're going to make you work for it, and if you make a mistake, we'll punch you in the gut. And yeah, I've got credit for them. They shook off that first half, the Bears, how it ended, and they came out all guns blazing. And they came out with better tempo, better energy than us. And they looked like they wanted it more for the first two drives. So for that, I have to give them credit for it.
And we shot ourselves in the foot in the first half, and not content with that, we shot ourselves in the other foot in the second.
Yeah, and it's stupid things again. I mean, why are you on third and one passing the ball to start the half? Monty's just broke out a big run. He's running 6 yards per carry on the day. Run the fucking thing down their throat. Like, you need a yard. That is it. Why are you dropping back to pass it? Why are you giving them the opportunity to dial up blitzers and play negative plays on you? It's just easy stuff. Get the short yardage, keep your drives going. It's what we do really well. Look, you know, when we're in 2 minute drill, we make decisions like that. We run the ball, though. We don't pass it. So I don't know why it changes in this situation. Then on defense, you know, stupid penalties, making drives longer. You know, we get them in a good position, get right where we want them. Then you undo all that work. You keep them extending drives. You give up points. I mean, it's only a field goal. It is not the end of the world, but it's setting the tempo for the half. You've just let yourself down on both sides of the ball, giving up points there. And then don't return it. Like, you've got new rules in the NFL now. Just fair catch. Okay, you get good starting position. You're having a bit of a dicky day. You're turning the ball over a bit. Just play it safe. Don't do silly things like that. Again, you're giving them opportunities to take the ball off you. You're giving them opportunities to make plays like that. It's just, for me, it's boneheaded calling. Just take the game scenario into effect and just be like, right, catch it, go again. Don't do anything stupid. There are a couple of stupid calls in there, a couple of boneheaded plays, and this is why in the third quarter, I just don't know why. I don't know whether we're trying to set the tempo and we're trying too hard. Maybe it is. Like, we're like, right, we're just going to go in there and we stop forgetting to do the basics. I kind of feel like that might be it, but it was just stupid and it was avoidable. All three of those drives were avoidable. Just stupid mistakes from us. Bears didn't even do anything. It was us who shot ourselves in the foot. So it's something that just needs looking at. They've just got to stay basic. Just do what they do. When we play like Detroit is and how we know they should do, we do good things. When we get away from that, that's where all these problems come from.
Ash, from no points off turnovers to 10 in this section of play.
Yeah, like you could probably hear me scrambling a bit. Because I was trying to look up why we defer. So I found an analysis from Sharp Football supposedly deferring the kickoff gives you about 15% better chance of winning a game. So that's probably why it's just what the analytics say. And I kind of get it because it's all about, like, you can steal a possession, which is obviously the idea, which we kind of did in this game. We scored last. Bears basically kneel out the half, and then we're supposed to get the ball back, and it's the idea you can increase the lead. Just didn't happen. Don't know. Well, I agree with that, though. Don't know why Reynolds was really returning it. Like, just fair catch it. Gets tired. I think he was just trying to... I think it's a symptom of our special teams this year, where we almost are forcing it because we had all the big plays last year, and we're just desperate to do that again when we should just take what's there, fair catch it, be safe, especially as Ant said, in this game where we've already turned over a couple of times. Don't give them opportunity to increase that margin. Fortunately, it happens. Craig gets hurt. Hopefully he's okay. If not, Khalil Dorsey could be fully healthy after that mysterious illness he had a couple of weeks ago, and he can come in. But then you're a bit light at running back, which is why on the stream I said, and this is going to make Ant happy, Jamar Jefferson might see some game time next on Thursday against the Bears. Because, yeah, Craig is there for the special teams, but you still kind of do need someone just take like 5-10 snaps of offense, carry the ball a couple of times so Jamar can do that. So that might be the plan there. But yeah, just the third quarter, it always seems to strike us. Just always seems to strike us. It's just the opposition makes more adjustments than what we do. And we just play into their hands for some reason. And the weird thing is we're not even the worst team in the third quarter. Like, there's the Jets, the Patriots, the Commanders, they all score less than us in the third quarter. It's just a symptom across the whole NFL where teams just aren't performing in the third quarter this season. But we're just obviously because we see, obviously we just see our own team, which just, we're a bit hyper-focused, but yeah, it's something we've got to have to sort out for the playoffs though, because if we do come up against a Dallas, a Philly, a San Francisco, we need to take all the advantages we can get. So if we defer the kickoff to get it in the second half, we need to come out and score a touchdown on that. We can't even settle for a field goal because we need to get all the advantages we can get. And right now, we're just not doing that.
All right, moving on to the final stretch here. So the Lions have coughed at their final interception of the game. Bears take over and get three on this drive. Really nice run on 3rd and 5 by Roshon Johnson. I said to Ash, it looked like the Lions running the ball there on that 3rd and 5. Hated to see that. DJ Moore then had a wide receiver screen for 7, which just looked like a really nice play that they didn't run again for the rest of the game. Fields keeper only got 2 after beating Harris on 3rd and 1. Tried a QB sneak, didn't get there. Looked like a bit of a bad spot to me, but we'll take anything we can get. And on 4th and 1, decide to take the field goal from 40 yards. Getting a bit timid. 23-14, Bears, very cowardly. Lions then on the next possession. And Goff, we need a big possession here, mate. Play action sack straight into Montez Sweat, who had a terrible grade on the game, by the way. He had that sack and he had like a 33 grade. Don't know if anyone saw that, but I thought that was hilarious, given what they've given up for him.
I mean, no one blocked him. He was totally unblocked.
Yeah, it was naked boot and he just read it. That's the problem, isn't it? Like, on a naked boot, if it's red, you're in trouble. But he didn't throw it away. Like, he could have just thrown it away.
That's what I was saying.
It just doesn't make any sense at all. So, 2nd down and 18, Raymond caught the ball for 7. He got absolutely hammered but held on to it. And then Goff, towards Sam LaPorta on the left-hand side, he gets hit and almost picks again. It basically hits a Bear in the foot, a cornerback. Can't remember who it was, but put it in harm's way, potentially got lucky again. And then maybe one of the plays of the game, underrated, but Jack Fox comes on for the punt and we're in trouble. You know, if they pick it up at midfield here and get another field goal, it's curtains. But 60-yard kick with hang time, Lions get there, a block in the back sets them up from like R15 to their 9, completely flips the field. Bears then take over with 13 minutes left in the game, up by 9. And they go on a terrific drive, by the way. This is 8 minutes 45 in a drive with 13 minutes left. I mean, perfect. Exactly what you want to do, apart from they only took 3. Herbert for 9 on 2nd and 1. Herbert gets 2 at the middle. 1st and 10. Tackles by Pascal and Campbell. Tackle for loss together. Fields on a keeper. Alexander Loney keeps them 29 on 3rd and 4. Deep pass to Mooney, but flagged for holding on Branch. 10 minutes to go. Fields with a play-action run. Good tackle by Campbell short. Campbell started making a couple of tackles late on. This is the thing about him, like in a terrible game, but when it came to clutch moments, he was kind of there. Third and one, and Herbert slithers through for another 3 yards for another first down. Field zone read with a great tackle by Barnes in the open field for only four. Fields went down really soft there, but I'll take it. 7.5 minutes to go. Fields, play action, sack by McNeil through the middle. This play is exceptional. Kind of runs inside, hand fighting, can't beat him, runs, moves him into the center, and then spins around the outside. Amazing counterplay. And gets the sack, cleans them up. 3rd and 14, and now Fields runs down the sideline for 30 yards. Illegal contact by Cam Sutton adds on another 5. 6:22 to go. Herbert, great tackle on him by Anzalone and Campbell. And then another good tackle by Campbell on the Fields run. 3rd and 7, and a run by Roshon Johnson for 2. 4th and 5, take the 39-yard field goal. 4:20 left in the game at this point. 26-14 Bears. So we start with 4:15 to go. Hand off to Monty, first play. What are you doing? 4 minutes left in the game. We're down 2 possessions. Don't run the fucking ball, please. Boos start to ring out around four field at this point. Like, it feels like it's going terribly, terribly wrong. Goff then short to Sam Laporta on 3rd and 2. And maybe the best pass of the game. I don't know. But fired into a really tight window to Amon-Ra St. Brown. I mean, that could have easily been another pick if it's not absolutely zipped in there. So props to him for that. Some yak as well by Amon-Ra on that play to get 16 on it, but had to be precise. Check down Sam Laporta for 6. 2nd and 4, check down to Gibbs. And he gets out the tackle in the middle of the field and manages to zip out of bounds for about 13 yards. And then 32 yards to go, touchdown to JMO on the right-hand side of the field, just runs a cover 2 beater. He's running straight at the post and then just changes the angle slightly to run towards the corner. Safety doesn't pick it up whatsoever. Lions get to within 5 after the PAT. 2:59 to go, and the Lions have all their timeouts. And the Lions go, Roshon Johnson run for none, timeout. Roshon Johnson run for 1, timeout. Fields deep for Tyler Scott. And it's not the worst throw in the world, but Tyler Scott just doesn't go looking for it. And if they complete that, that's ball game, but misses it. And then they punt to the 27. Lions have 2:34 left. And 1 timeout still in the pocket because they threw it on that one. So I mean, why you go run deep pass there and leave us with 1? I don't get it. And then the final possession of the game, bar the safety, Lions marshal a fantastic 2-minute drive. Goff starts to Monty for 13. Slot passing game, Monty. What I want to see. Deep shot to JMO goes incomplete down the near sideline. 2:05 left. Take advantage of the 2-minute warning with a 2nd and 10 handoff to Monty for 12 yards. 2-minute warning comes, check down to Gibbs for 6. Goff to Sam Laporta down the 5 sideline for 6. Goff then falling down in a sack, but manages to kind of hero throw it to Monty out of that for 9 yards. 1:15 to go, hand off to Monty for 10. 49 seconds to go, throw low to Amon-Ra St. Brown for 8 yards down to the 7. 43 seconds to go, Goff evades pressure and throws it away. 38 seconds left, hand off to Gibbs, up the middle for 6, down at the 1. And Chicago take their timeout at this point in desperation mode, knowing they're probably going to give this up and need to, give themselves time. And then the ultimate insult, no timeouts left, only 30 seconds to go. We're going to run it anyway. Hand off to Monty. Touchdown Lions, 2-point try. Lovely conversion to Sam Laporta out of I formation, comes from the right-hand side as a tight end all the way round to the left as everyone else goes right. No one within like 10 yards of him. Terrific 2-point play. Lions lead by 3. And then touchback, 29 seconds to go. Hutch beats Wright all end up. Strip sack on Fields. And Wright pretty much does the only thing he can as like a 330-pound man that can't bend down and touch his toes and just kicks it out the back of the end zone. Lions safety. And it's a smart punt. Like, what else can you do apart from absolutely hoist it like that? It was a really, really smart thing to do. And you got to put the guy with the surest hands up there. Amon-Ra St. Brown takes the fair catch. Lions win the game. Incredible 2-minute drive. But let me come back down the line opposite order again. Ash, it didn't seem like it was going well. You know, we hold them to a field goal early. Then the Goff sack on by Sweat. Then they take 8.5 minutes on the clock. but they only take in field goals, and suddenly the touchdown to JMO, we use our timeouts well, they're running the ball in awful situations, and then we marshal a great drive and finish off with a Hutch sack. I mean, it's a lot happens, but it started feeling inevitable at some point after we got the first one.
Exactly. Like, I'm going to steal the stat that probably someone else is going to say. So the start of our ninth drive, 4:15 left, the Bears have a 98.2% win probability from ESPN. 1.8% sliver of a chance. We took that sliver and we blasted it wide open. Like, we're the kind of team that can do that now. We and the stream, me and Matt were discussing opening game against for this regime, against the 49ers, where we came close to doing it, but we just didn't have enough. Now we do. We have enough talent on both sides of the ball now to score the touchdowns when we need them and to stop the other team from scoring the touchdowns when we need it. They came up to play in this last 4 minutes and 15 seconds. Like, yeah, booing the fan off to Monty, bad kind of call, but maybe it was just to soften up their defense, to make them think, hang on, they're going to run the ball here. It changes the dynamics on the defense, because they probably came out thinking, okay, let's just defend the pass, lighten the box up, put as many players in coverage as we can. So that run kind of makes them think, hang on, they might run it on us here. We need to still have players in the box. It just changes the maths for them. And it works, because then suddenly we do pass, we're finding the open zones. And then JMO, like, the route running, that's something that's been kind of been missing from his game this season. Like, he's been okay at it, but now you can see the stuff that we've been told he's been doing with the wide receiver guru down in Florida that he was supposedly doing when he was off being taken out of suspension, starting to show it here. Really good route. Then the Bears just crapping the bed for their play call and thinking, oh yeah, we can just get some first downs, grind out the clock. Nope, we just load up against the run. When it comes to that third and long, they just can't connect. We get the ball back and we're just in our own elements. We just go and score, put the game out of doubt. And then, yeah, when we needed a player to stand up and really seal the game for us, who else but our second overall pick, the man who was picked to be a franchise cornerstone and is making his name now as a top-tier edge rusher, Hutchinson, just putting it all on them. Just great ending to the game. Roller coaster again. I can't take too much of this. It's like having too many energy drinks again, but I would not miss it for the world.
Steve, you've taken the time to put your hand up on Zoom, so I presume you have something pertinent.
Yeah, like I just wanted to go back to the Bears' last scoring drive. Like, I'll let Ant and Ryan take the glory of our last couple of offensive drives. But just talking about the kind of defensive issues that we've had and things just not sitting quite right with the defense, that last scoring drive by the Bears, we had so many chances to stop them, like so many. There was like Branch could have got the game ball for me, but stupid penalties. And on a really, really crucial, I think it was a third and one when... We've effectively stopped the drive and Branch gives up a penalty. And then there was that third and 14 where I think where Fields runs and he drops back and he must have dropped back 7 or 8 yards. And the camera is like totally on this flip to him. And then he starts to run and the camera pans and I'm like, oh my God, there is no defender anywhere near him. And then I think it was Derek Barnes just got caught up on a really bad block and he just couldn't get off the block. And he was like 10 yards downfield and he was just kind of I'm like, do something, man. Like, do something. But there was no one else. And like, we didn't have a spy. There was no linebacker anywhere in sight. We absolutely cannot do this, like, in the playoffs. Jalen Hurts is going to absolutely, you know, waltz by. And that's the defensive stuff I'm really worried about, because we have to be able to stop that kind of scoring drive. And we were really lucky to get away with a field goal, but we shouldn't have let them have anything. And for me, that was like a big, like, red flag.
And I think Steve's absolutely spot on with all that stuff. But we did start to turn it around at this point in the game. And, you know, I think that the tone was set by that McNeil sack.
I mean, yes, but then they convert afterwards. I mean, the tone really changes in this when you get the pass down to J-Mo. Like, that's where this game changes. And for everyone out there who's ready to trade him away and let him go, well, that's what he brings to this team. That's twice he's unlocked hard defenses now against the Bucks and the Bears. That's why he's special. That's why he's such a great player. And that's why you don't give up on him after, like, not even a season's worth of game time. Like, he was the reason we got back into this. The big play, the big bomb, you get that juice behind you, and then all of a sudden you give yourself a chance in this game, you know, because your star weapon has delivered for you. The defense comes out, makes the stop that it needs to, helped by vanilla play calling, but the run defense was terrific again outside of, like, Fields, but I couldn't care less what he does. He's got 300-yard performances in a row against us. He's lost every single game. I don't care what he does. They come out and then you can see the offense is juiced. It's ready. You get the stops. You've got more than enough time in the world. And the play calling's great. I mean, I think there was a comment earlier about why are we running the ball this time? I love it. You've got to keep them honest against them. You can't just go throw all the time. You've got to keep running the ball. And it's what we're good at. We're good at running the ball. You get big chunk plays in there with Monty. You keep the drives going. You open up the play action. We've got one of the best two-minute offenses in football. Like, genuinely, we do. We just have all these weapons and all this stuff we can do with it. And we can run the ball efficiently in there as well. So I just loved it. You just saw the full Arsenal breakout. When it mattered, good teams make stops. Good teams can erase 50 minutes, 55 minutes of bad game and still win. And you saw what this team did. They were just, it's like they were completely unfazed. Goff was slinging it around. He was unfazed, although he turned it over three times. I just loved it. Just one play sparked it to life and both sides of the ball responded to one another. And the final drive was just beyond perfection, the way they did it, the way they were able to run it right down. And then, like, to add insult to injury for them, give it Monty on the one-yard line, let him run it in, let him say a big you to the Bears for letting him go. Mid-Monty, they called him. Well, he's not looking so mid now, is he? Dude's winning us games. Dude's still well in his prime and has got a lot of good years left in front of him. And he's going to eat here. And then, you know, old Lions team, how many times have we seen them? 29 seconds left, team needs field goal or whatever to win. They've gone on and done so. New Lions, one play, you're done. Justin Fields, you can always rely on him to fuck up. And he did. Gave us the points we needed and you closed the game out. And from being in such a hole, this is what I love most about this game. Like, this team doesn't know when it's beaten. This team doesn't care. You know, Bell isn't, you know, not over till the fat lady sings. And she didn't sing in this one for us because we didn't let her. And I just loved it. I just loved the recovery. But it all started with J-Mo and that big hit. That's when Chicago started to wobble. That's when they're like, uh-oh, they're warming up here. And, you know, we're not good enough to run this one out. They just stopped believing in themselves. And the whole team stood up when it needed to, and I was very, very proud of them. Like I say, I think this does more for us than it does against us, just because it shows you the mentality of the team now. Think back when teams have done this in the past. You know, you think no more than the Pats against the Falcons in the Super Bowl. Like nearly three quarters of terrible game football from them. But because they have the mentality and the mindset to just let it go, start a comeback, roll the momentum, win games. I know, you know, it's not the same thing, but it is at the same time. For that team to just shake off everything it's been through and then to do that shows that it is maturing to, like, elite levels now. This is not just a plucky team anymore. This is a team that can beat you any which way it wants to. And I think a lot of people should be worried about this team now because they're like, well, shit, if we're down on us and we don't put them away, they're going to bite us. And, you know, we're not going to be able to do it. So I just loved everything about it. But yeah, that's what J-Mo brings to this team. And give the guy some goddamn time. Like, I was so happy for him in this because that's what he is to our offense. He is that critical. We don't win this game without him. And, you know, that's a big boon to our season. That's a big hit to our season. So well done to J-Mo for that and to Goff for finding him.
I mean, I was just about to say to Ryan, and you kind of referenced what I was thinking about, and but it was like he almost streamed his inner sort of Tom Brady-esque, it's the last 5 minutes of the game, you're not winning this, I'm taking this now. Do you know what I mean?
See, this game, this 4 or 5 minutes, this defined the difference between me and Detroit and Chicago. Dan and Ben are a general and a lieutenant that lead their men into war. Matt and Luke Getze are two privates that want to go grab copies of FHM, hide in the bathroom until the war's over, like I say, and just sit back to back, and they'll tug away until someone says, oh, it's all over now, because they're cowards. Game on the line, chance to win it. Fourth and one, and they take a field goal at the 39-yard line. Dan would never. He goes for that. He has a play call for it. And he says, we're going to win this game here and now. Later in the game, might say where they're going, oh, run for one, run for one, run for two, deep ball. No, Dan trusts his players to get out of bounds, to find space, find the sideline, and kill clock on its own. He didn't take timeouts till about 50 seconds on that game-winning drive. He trusted them to get to the line calmly, no penalties. And Dan's clock management, compared to the first 15 games, which was terrible at times, has become impeccable in the last few games. And that summed up everything about us. They were playing with that little bit in the back of the mind, like, oh, if you lose this, we've got that nice little warm bath with Matron of draft capital. It's okay. We don't have to win. We're playing to win Super Bowls. That's the difference between Lions and Bears. We're the kings of the jungle. They're Care Bears whose bellies light up and get played with by... Nope, I'm not going to say that because that's almost been a blooper. Yeah. To sum it up, but no.
And thank God you stopped yourself.
Aiden Coldhouse, like I say, a lot of people say that they feel like Aiden Hutchinson, you never see him, he's not doing anything. Where's Aiden? He's a bust. Why is he not getting sacks? Why is he not making forced fumbles? Why is he not flushing guys out of the pocket? Because he's trying to do it all himself. He's trying to do four men's job sometime at the same time. That's enough. He's not being held. And the one time, essentially gets a free release. Like I said, he makes the biggest play, ends the game, and Dan Wright does the exact same thing. I'd have booted that ball out either. I wouldn't have given the satisfaction of Hutch of scoring a touchdown. So, yeah, he did the exact right thing. And the difference between players that are good players, good first-round players, and, like, future long-term captains of generational art, when the game is on the line, it matters most, they stand up and be counted. In Chicago right now, they don't have any of them. I don't think they've got any on that roster. Most of their positions, they struggle to get into ours because they just don't have the grit and determination to go 60 minutes. 60-60. They play 40. I say, we'll play 60. But we might not be great for 40 of them, but we'll still play them when it counts. We get the job done. It's not pretty. I didn't enjoy large parts of it, but I'm now starting to see the makings of a team that can overcome adversity, can still win when they play some really bad football, still find ways to win, and they don't just feel sorry for themselves and take the positives like the Bears probably did this morning. Probably thought, we were happy with that effort. Push them all the way, upset we didn't win. No, we don't have that mentality over here. If we'd have lost that game, that would have been a sucker punch. That would have been a punch to the gut. Jared Goff said there'll be no more of those.
We'll see. Steve, any further comments on those final few drives? Because you talked about the lack of defense, but those final two offensive drives were special.
I mean, I'm still trying to get my head around Matt Eberflus and Luke Getze in the bathroom with a
copy of FHM. I mean, do they have like a copy each? Or are they like kind of sitting? I didn't know if they were like sitting in sort of two separate cubicles, like passing it over the top.
No, they're not brave enough for that. They can't look each other in the eyes, but back to back for safety. Because when one goes, they both go.
I thought instead of FHM that gets to use as a tablet and watches Matt Patricia's offense because he replicates it. Oh yeah, straight up the middle for one. fucking this gets me going. This grinds my gears.
Matt Patricia playbook is on the back copy, scribbled in blue ink.
Nah, it's in pencil. It's in pencil.
what more can I say? What more can I say, Matt, to add to that?
Gets his motto will be one day I'll have the greatest fourth down play ever in a Super Bowl. That's what it's going to be.
I said last week, if last week was the worst we play and find to wait a win, I'll be happy. I'm bringing that back a week. If that's the worst we can play and win a game, I'll be happy. Two performances I've not been overly enamoured with. Two wins.
We're going to win 6-3 against the Packers now, you know, we've said that.
And this is the thing about the kind of complementary football. And just to like make a serious point, like as Ant said, that Alim McNeil play was stupendous, out of this world. Like, what a play at what a crucial time. But when Alim makes that play, that should end the drive. But it didn't. And Alim must be pretty pissed off that after making that play and like completely knocking their drive, you know, off kilter, we've then allowed them to get back into it and continue by like soft plays. And again, if that happened in the playoffs, we can't afford that shit.
Going to come on to some game themes here and some talking points. And I do think this one is going to get some division, but maybe it will unite you guys. I'm not sure. And I'm going to mix it in with a question we've had during the show. The theme I had was Lions D in this game, good or bad? And SW Lions says, guys, how much of the deficiency on defense is about coaching versus personnel? So put both of those questions to you, because I'm having a really hard time with this. Like, I buy Steve's argument in terms of what he's saying, and he kind of comes back to the Chargers game in terms of stringing four of the plays together, for goodness sake, in a row. Like, that's what it takes to get a team off the field. And yet, you know, we've seen this team against, like, the Ravens really struggle for, you know, they're blowing after, like, 20 minutes of the game. But they were on the field for 40 of these minutes and they kept playing. And like their best two drives might have been the second drive of the game after the first turnover and then the final two drives to hold them to field goals or punts. Like, it's a really weird one where they've seemingly turned a corner in some aspects and haven't in others, you know? Anyone have an especially big feelings on this?
I think...
Go on, Al.
No, but you've got to.
I was just going to say, like, a couple of other Lions podcasts, you know, have kind of, like, highlighted the point that, oh, but they had the ball for 40 minutes and we restricted them to field goals. But they're missing the point. They're field goals from Luke Getz's Bears, like, in, you know, when they're bow quaking in the fourth quarter. If another team gets the ball for 40 minutes, they're not going to score field goals. They're going to score touchdowns. So for me, the defense has got to make stops, but it also can't allow those kind of drives where they go 60 yards and get into field goal range, because it against playoff teams, those drives will become touchdown drives.
It's a tough one with these guys. Like I say, on paper, it's really good what they've done on the day. And you know what? There are bits of this defense that are really, really good. Like, I mean, the run defense was great for me.
Yeah.
I mean, Absolutely. Outside of Fields, they ran at 2.8 yards a carry on 28 rushes. Like, between the tackles, you're immense. And it takes a lot to move us out of there. And that is especially big because at the end of the game, when they're trying to run it out and they're going to their base ass running between the tackle shit, we stop it because we're that much better now. We've been broken through God knows how many times over the years trying to get the ball back to win games. That is such an improvement. And in this facet, it's still really great. The trouble is, it's tackling in mobile quarterback that's the problem for us. The discipline in the middle is great. The pressure coming up the middle is better. It's on the edge where the issues are coming. And with the linebackers, you've got to be better at it. And it seems like we talk about this problem all the time. And it's like, that's on coaching eventually. You know, these same issues that pop up, you've got to find a way to take him down and to stop him running on you. But at the end of the day, like I've already said, I don't really care how many rushing yards he gets against us, because at the end of the day, that That offense is so vanilla. You can break off a 60-yard touchdown run. At most, they're going to get a field goal because they're not good enough to convert on it. If you stop the main running backs, that's the big thing. But then tackling is such a big issue for us. Like, we could have stopped so many more drives. We could have got the ball back so much quicker if we were tackling better. Again, been an issue for us over time. But at the same time, this defense is now starting to find ways of being clutch. It is starting to find ways that it makes the big plays when it needs to. And you can see it is developing and it's a process. So they're missing a few bits. I think missing CJ is huge for this team because he's the de facto leader of it. I just, you know, he's the guy who organizes it all, who sets the tone and all. And I think when he's back, which hopefully if by his IG is in a couple of weeks' time, I think a lot of our problems will be solved when he's here. So I hope so for that. But overall, you've got to say it's impressive because they've been out there for 40 minutes and it is tiring. And even the most basic offense can wear you down over 40 minutes. And at the end of the game, they were still going stronger than their offense was. So it's a little bit of both, but I see a lot in there that I like as well. And in a win, I will take the stuff that I like and I will roll with it and hope that we can work on the stuff that's not so great because we adjusted to Fields last year, like after one game. Hopefully we'll see the footage in this one and we'll adjust again. So when we go to Soldier Field, we'll crush them properly next time. But yeah, this stuff to hate on there, but I think there's a lot of stuff to like as well.
I think Ant touches on the point that we have a lack of leadership in the secondary. And without Gardner Johnson, Tracy should be the one that rallies the troops. And so far this season, coming back from injury, I'm not seeing it. I'm not seeing the communication between, like I say, Kirby, Tracy, and the corners. Like I say, they all have their job to do and they can all do the job individually. But I don't see them talking enough. I feel like there's a lack of fluidity between them. There isn't one person that interconnects all of them. And while Gardner Johnson is out, that should be Walker. And I look to him being that veteran presence. I'd like to think he does that. And with the system we put, like say, we're playing like say more zone, like say more man, we do get guys traveling through zones and when communication before or after the snap, like say motions break down, that's where the big plays do come from. Like say, if you just have like a split second of doubt, if you don't know your safety, your guy's got your back, a receiver can get past you. Like say, Jerry, he looks to Kirby like that, like he needs to, like, you've got my back. You're over the top there if I need you. Like I say, I can only cover him so long. If he gets in behind me, I need to know he's there. And I see Alex do it with the linebackers. He's vocal, like Kamish, guys like that, that are loud and they're talkative because some are a bit quiet on the D-line. Right now, coaches can only do so much with the secondary. When it gets on the field and when they step on, they're on their own, like I say, in the secondary. You're on at mini islands. And if you don't want to play a bit more man and you don't just want to man up and you will play more zone, then between them, collectively, they've got to find a little bit way to better to communicate. Like I said, there's still time, but right now, against the run, most of the season, we're doing fine. Passing, in the last few weeks, it's been killing us. Like I said, they're just finding holes, they're getting in behind us. Like I say, sometimes guys look like they don't know who's got who. Like I say, a bit of pre-snap motion, it kind of just seems to unsettle them, rattle them a little bit. It's not massive changes, even a little bit shift of percentage of what kind of style they want to play. But yeah, right now for me, falls on personnel.
We had a question from Brian Shook saying, when was the last time the Lions won a game with giving up four or more turnovers? I think I have the answer, but do you have it as well, Ash?
Yes, you could. So I believe it is Thanksgiving 2013 with a 40-10 win over the Green Bay Packers, where Stafford threw two interceptions and fumbled the ball once. And then Reggie Bush also lost a fumble.
Yeah, four turnovers for us, three for them. We had 561 yards of total offense versus their 126, which is just ridiculous. Anyway, Next game theme I have is just about the Lions' issues against the quarterback who can run and pass. We face this against Justin Herbert, and Ash has this now fabled question with Pride of Detroit that we're going to reference pretty much every time this comes up. But we talked about it earlier on that, you know, Aaron Glenn just seems to not be able to fix this issue. But what can he actually do? Is there anything you guys would change on defense against a quarterback who is good doing both? Because sometimes it feels like you're kind of just picking your poison at this point.
I mean, this is a fundamental question because, like, this is so, so important for us, because if we're going to get to the Super Bowl, which, you know, is the ultimate aim, we've got to get past the Philadelphia Eagles. And the Eagles have got a mobile quarterback in Jalen Hurts, and they've got, like, you know, multiple targets. They've got A.J. Brown, they've got Devonta Smith, they've got Dallas Goedert, and then they've got DeAndre Swift. You've got Swift catching balls out the backfield. So a mobile quarterback and four targets, like, we have to be able to scheme against it. And, you know, this is where that game against Fields should be a rehearsal in terms of, like, you know, excellence. What does good look like? Not an absolute fucking shambles that we get ourselves in a hole and then we're scrambling around and the offense has to pull it out of the bag, you know, on the last drive. That's not what it should be. This should be a rehearsal, a clinic of how to deal with these situations. And I'm not seeing that.
So I guess since it's the infamous question, as Jeremy quite rightly answered my question when I asked it on the PD mailbag, most defenses struggle in this situation because it is a pick your poison situation. Only the Browns and maybe the 49ers and maybe the Eagles, when they're fully healthy, are the teams that can do it because they can get consistent pressure rushing four. So for us, it has to be we have to get rush more than four if you're having the coverage. So I'm saying zone blitzes. Something we did this week with Brian Branch. Rushing from the nickel, but still have zone coverage on the back. So you're having the best of both worlds. You're forcing offensive linemen and the running backs, whoever's in, to block, to make decisions, because you're always going to be double teaming Hutch. Aleem probably is demanding at least a 1.5 block, where maybe the center's blocking him for a bit, then moves across. You can't block everyone. So sending a blitz just makes it harder for the offensive, whoever's blocking. At the same time, you're keeping that zone coverage, which you need against rushing QBs, because the second you're in man and you have your eyes on the receivers, they just wait 2 seconds, see where the holes in the man are, and just run that way. So we need to marry them both. But right now, we're either playing the zone and only rushing four, or we're playing man, bringing those blitzes. But because it's man, they're just able to run away from it, find the holes. We need to start mixing it up. I know we used some zone blitzes week two against Geno, but the difference there was we were dropping the people who should be rushing into coverage. You keep Charles Harris attacking the quarterback. You keep Aiden attacking the quarterback. You bring Branch on the blitz, Barnes on the blitz. Like, this is a guy who's a former edge rusher at Purdue.
And but the question is, Ash, is that if they are double teaming Hutch and if they are giving 1.5, you know, to Aleem, why are we not seeing any pressure from the other side? And, like, you know, we don't want to be talking draft now at the moment. But that has to be a question that's addressed, because we've got Charles Harris, we've got Romeo Okwara, got Julian Okwara, but I don't know, why are we seeing no pressure from the other side if Hutch and Aleem are getting, you know, getting all the attention? I don't understand it.
It's because they're not really getting home. So I'm looking now. So, yeah, leading two with rushers in terms of pressures are Aleem and Hutchinson. Hutch with 6, Aleem with 4. Charles had 3, but they're all hurries. Julian had 2, hurries. Benito had 2, hurries. Branch had 1, which was a hit. They're only Hutch, Aleem, and Branch got hits. Everyone else, they're getting there. They're hurrying the quarterback, but they're just not getting home. I'm doing the always thing I always do on the live streams. I'm bringing college into it. Sometimes we're just being unlucky, but at some point, it has to change that look, because we are up there for QB pressures. We are up there for the teams. We're just not getting home. I think we're like 31st in time to sack, because Hutch is getting held on every play. Aleem, is getting held on some plays or just getting double teamed out of the play. And the others, Charles Harrison, aren't just picking up the slack like we were hoping they were early this year. And since that's the reason we've sort of brought in Bruce Irvin, who I know Justin Rogers answered a question earlier on Twitter about could he be active on Thursday. We need someone who's a speed rusher to take sort of, while Hutch and Alim are getting those pressures, you've got someone to clean it up, because that would be James Houston if he was healthy. He would be cleaning up right now and perhaps we wouldn't be having this issue. But because we don't really have anyone of that skill set who's actually good, like the one player I can remember from June and Kwari yesterday, was him absolutely decking a Bears offensive lineman on the fumble recovery. That's the only thing I can remember from him. We just don't have someone cleaning it up. That's that speed rush, which of us, like, for example, the Eagles, they have Nolan Smith, who they put in certain positions like we do with Houston, who's really good at cleaning it up. Did it Georgia, does it for them. The 49ers, they just have good, two really good edge rushers on either side who can do it. The Browns are bringing simulated pressure with Jim Schwartz's pressure schemes. They're able to clean up, and we're just being very vanilla with our blitzes. Like, okay, this week kind of works. So there was the one where Brian Branch got the TFL on the running back. It was clear he was blitzing, but the Bears just didn't pick him up. We're just not being creative enough about it, because I think Glenn's a bit too scared to do it, because he's all about coverage, because obviously he's a former DB. He always wants to protect his defensive backs by having as many players in coverage as he can, and it's just not working. So that's why I'm saying zone blitz is just bring more pressure, because sometimes it works. Like, okay, we had the zero blitz against the Chargers, which I called for on that fourth down, because I was like, either you get home, you force them out of field goal range and have to punt, or they score a touchdown, you get the ball back, you can go score yourself. Those are only the really times you're doing it where it's either way that happens, we win. We're not really doing it to force issues to the offense. We're doing it only when the offense dictate terms to us. It's just, I don't know what we can do to fix it other than just get healthy and get James Houston or Bruce Irvin in there just to get some speed rush.
I mean, need a better secondary. The secondary is not good enough to hold up long enough for your pass rush to get home. That's your problem, essentially. Like, they're able to get the ball out quick. They're finding space. The zone, it's just too fucking loose. It's not tight enough. It's not good enough. You know, because that is also the issue. You know, D-line will get a lot of blame sometimes when the secondary, it's their problem. Like, you've got to give them time to get to the quarterback, especially one who can move. Like, if he's not a statue pocket passer, you've got to give at least another second or so for them to be able to get a guy who's scrambling a bit, who's rolling into space. It's just not that easy. So the secondary has to get better as well at the same time, because I don't think necessarily what the D-line's doing is bad stuff. Like I say, they're run blocking really well. They're getting pressure along the entire line. It's just they're not able to convert, but they're not getting the time to do so. But there's not really a lot we can do about that now unless we scheme better, you know, rush three or four and then have more guys sat and actually have them actively, not just sat in their space. Double up guys, whatever you need to do, just give the guys that little extra bit of time to get home.
Moving on to the other side of the ball, the other team and the Bears play calling, especially in the last kind of 2 minutes when we were driving to win, to score a touch in the first half and then to win the game in the second, but also just the field goals late as well. I mean, yeah, we took the victory, but, and I know we've talked about this a little bit, but just to put a big spotlight on it, how shit were the Bears play calling wise in this game? Outside of those areas, I thought they were really good. I thought the scheme was great. I thought Fields was doing some really good stuff. The first drive was exceptional. But in the moments that mattered most, they folded like spineless fools.
Well, just put it this way. Look at the two teams. Dan Campbell had full confidence in Jared Goff, who had thrown 3 interceptions in the game. The Bears had 0 faith in Justin Fields, who didn't really make a mistake in this game. There's your difference. That's where games are won and lost. You know, that's where we saw with Patricia and Stafford. Patricia didn't trust Stafford to go out there and make the big plays, and so we didn't get any from him. Even after the game Goff had and the decisions he made, they stuck with him and gave him their 100% full bona fide support. The Bears pulled the rug from under Fields and said, you know what, we just don't trust you. Let's run the ball twice. Let's not try and catch him out. I mean, in leak Komet off the edge, something like that, put him on one of our linebackers, we're going to be in trouble then. No, you don't trust your quarterback to do it. That is the fundamental difference between our two teams. Our guy who was, Dan believes in his team. He trusts his team. Eberflus does not. And that's why they lost this game.
We'd get the best out of Justin Fields. Without a shadow of a doubt. They hold him back. They've got him on baby reins. And Justin's pissed off. He literally said a couple of weeks ago, I play better, off script with more freedom. I want more freedom. So what do? Game on the line. They tell him, you're going to hand the ball off to Roshan Johnson 3 times. And you're going to accumulate 4.5 yards. What's it? 4th and 1. We're going to give you a design quarterback run? No. That's it. We're just going to kick a field goal because Kara Santos is cushed your little safety net. We don't trust you to go and win the game. We're just going to give our defense a chance to go win the game because it's done it so far. And we think he can do it again. And eventually, one of two things will happen. They'll replace him and he'll go elsewhere and turn out to be a star. Or he'll get pissed off and he'll ask for a trade. And I know which one of them is more likely because I don't trust Ryan Poles as far as I can throw him. I can see him drafting a quarterback next year. And it'd feel like a misjustice. It would genuinely feel like they don't know what they've got until it's gone. Yeah. And Luke gets it. Very vanilla. Literally a really timid scheme just based prior around QB's ability to shake and bake and athleticism and make plays in the open field. But when it really matters, totally rein him in. So yeah.
Just bothered about
naive.
More bothered about their jobs than utilising the team. All they can think about is win to secure their job, not their players. And again, that's where this... It's so similar to what Patricia did. He was just fighting for every win he could just to try and save his own fat ass whilst our players suffered. And you're right, with Fields, it's... And if Poles is this sign of super GM, he knows that his head coach doesn't trust the quarterback who's going to be the guy of the future. Why is he still there? Every single game that goes past, he gets a little bit closer to that door and doesn't come back, which is wonderful for us, but it's baffling as to why they're going to keep a head coach there who doesn't believe in the guy, unless Poles is in on it and wants him gone as well.
I trust them less with a quarterback that'll sit in the pocket like Caleb Williams and Marvin Harrison Jr., then I do trust them with a supreme athlete like Justin Fields. How is that going to field any better results when they don't coach their strengths? Two players that could terrify the life out of me, but then I remember the Bears' offensive play calling is like a soccer AM colour by numbers. It's crap, isn't it? It's child's play. And it does not get any higher advanced. It's like Key Stage 3. Where you go to the first page in a little corner, it says, turn to page 43. Turn to page 43, what does it say? Go to page 87. Go to page 87. Goes to back cover, it says, you're a dick. Oh, run the ball.
Oh,
like,
God.
You go through all that and it just says, last page says, kick a 40-yard field goal, be happy with your 9-point lead, and then hope that the Detroit Lions, that are really, really good when it comes to end of games, don't suddenly come to life.
I love that story. May that story never end.
The players are getting pissed off because you remember Braxton Jones' reaction when he got benched. Through his helmet, and they quickly took that back because Larry Borum has a, what's that? Oh, 0.0 pass blocking grade from PFF on his 2 snaps. So they're losing the locker room. Fields has already come out and had a go. DJ Moore's come out and had a go. Mooney supposedly had a go. You see Braxton Jones having a massive hissy fit.
I'm wondering why Cody Whitehair got benched because he's not worse than who they had. And he wasn't the backup.
The ball. I don't care if you don't like Cody Whitehair. He is a better option than Dan Feeney that doesn't have a
clue. Yeah.
He's got no mental clock, and Justin Fields chewed him out.
And they couldn't fight as well. I mean, my particular favourite was Lucas Patrick getting decked by Julian Aquara and taken off the field. And it's just like, I mean, come on. I love Julian, but compared to a full-size centre, he absolutely decks the living daylights out of him. Patrick's like, fuck this, I can't be arsed, I'm off. And he's walking off, and I don't think he's that injured. I think he's just, you know, I've had enough of this, and rightly so. Mm. Like,
yeah. It's come to that time of the evening, fellas, where we hand out the box of cigars and choose our subpars as well. So Steve, as the returning man, going to give the honour to you for the first overall pick. So who's your guy?
I'm going to go with Jameson Williams, because if he didn't catch that ball, we wouldn't have won the game. Like, you know, that TD grab, we've said for so long we need guys to create separation. And, I mean, he had 2 yards on the guy, and then Goff made a really good throw as the safety came across. You know, we've talked about his hands, we've talked about drops. He absolutely nailed that, and he's done it a few times now. He had another, I think, 12 yards earlier. There's a few candidates. I'd have given it Branch, like I said, apart from like a couple of stupid penalties. I thought Branch played really well. But let's give it to Jameson Williams.
Ryan?
I'm going to go with Quinton Bahana. Despite me being super critical of the decision to sit two guys for a guy that sounds like he works at a car wash to fund his college degree in Professor Snape potions class, like, I was amazed. Like, he didn't look out of place at all. For a guy who caught the practice squad, he did pretty good. And the Bears had very little help up the middle. He just didn't have much luck most of the day. Ran the ball okay at times, but they did not go between him and Ali most of the day. And he held his own and played a decent amount of snaps. And I don't know what's going on with Bugs, but I don't think he's got an illness. I'm just waiting for the whole this blow-ups up in your face.
Oh, he's had a big fucking bust up with Aaron Glenn. He's got in his face, and he's blacklisted now, pretty much.
And Broderick Martin, like I say, is just not there yet. So they went with a guy that they picked up off his sofa and said, come in and play against a running back that's really good in Dante Foreman. To be fair, he was playing the entire game hurt, fair enough. But try stop Justin Fields. And did a pretty good job for most of the day. So credit where it's due. When we call guys up that you don't know very little about, they put up some good performances.
And?
It's going to my big fuzzy teddy bear at defensive tackle. Like, Aline's just so good in his third year. He's been everything we thought. When he first came, I said he was like the potential to be our Kenny Clark. Scrap that. I think he's going to be better than Kenny Clark when all is said and done. I think he's going to be that higher level of guy for us. And just the success he was having in this one. I mean, on the Sutton, when Sutton forced the fumble on that particular play himself, I watched this pass. I don't know why it stuck out to me, but he got hit in the helmet when he started his rush. He got a hook round the neck, both blatantly illegal, and he still took 2 offensive linemen with him into the quarterback to pressure him to throw that. And it's like, that's what we've been waiting for years. Is a guy who can cause that much trouble on the interior, and he's just turning into such a star for us. And yeah, he's great, and it's all part of what's going on there. And you know, if we've got a guy, maybe Bohanna next to him is going to work, then great. But yeah, Aleem, he was big in this game. And if we are we doing subpars as well, or are we just doing good at the minute?
Ash.
Well, firstly.
Sorry, Anne. I missed that.
I was just about to say, are we doing just good at the minute? Are we waiting for bad?
Do bad if you want to do bad.
All right. Well, I feel like I've been like the nicest person about him recently, despite my track record not saying so. But the only time I heard Will Harris's name mentioned yesterday is when he gave up a penalty. And then I go and see that he plays one snap in the game and he gives away a penalty on that one snap. So the day is coming. His time is coming. He's nearly out the door, and good riddance.
Fair. Sorry, I mistook your waiting there for having ended, and I missed the last word. So sorry, Ash, your guys.
Well, first, name a better duo. Ryan inadvertently always stealing my picks for these. Mm-hmm. Always happens. But I'm going to go for someone off field. Jake McQuaid. For someone who been on the practice, like we've signed off the practice well for the last couple of weeks, he's fitted into the special teams pretty seamlessly. Like, haven't seen that much disparity between him and Scott Daly. Like, special teams, the kicking's still functioned as it has. So for him to sort of do that after getting bummed off in camp, he was brought in as like a sort of put loads of fire of Scott Daly's arse, did his job, got told, okay, time for you to go. And then as soon as we need him, he's happy to come back, and he's played pretty well for a long snapper. Like, don't really notice him, which is pretty much all you can ask for a long snapper. So my cigar goes to him.
For me, it's Anzalone, and it feels like he's my default pick almost every week, but it felt like Sewell was the leader of the team last year in his sort of mentality, and I really feel like that mantle's been picked up by Anzalone this year. He's just an absolute warrior. He's making plays all over the field in ways we didn't really know that he could do this year. Like, he got overpaid in the offseason, apparently, but he's justifying it with his play. He's been a top 20 linebacker in the NFL, and that's being pretty generous to the rest of the NFL. But then I check the PFF grades, and I see one guy who really, really shocked me in the top of that table, near the top of that table. Anyone want to guess who the fifth best linebacker in the league is at the moment?
Other than AA, because I know who it is.
Is he a Lion?
He's former a former Lion. Former Lion.
Oh, Jelani Tavai.
There you go.
He is having a fantastic year.
He really is. It's just ridiculous. But anyway, but Anzalone's up there for me. He's making clutch plays at really big times. Like, he's stopping second and twos for third and ones. He's stopping third and longs for fourth down and short. Like, when it looks like people are converting, he's dragging his teammates along with him, kicking and screaming at times on that defense. He's making a massive, massive difference. And I know that the defense played really well to start the year, and it's kind of regressing back a bit, but I hate to think what any of it would look like without him at the moment. I think he's one of only a few irreplaceable guys on the roster right now. I feel like the way that the scheme works, a lot of the players, you could find other people who could operate it, but Anzalone, Hutchinson, Goff to a certain extent, Amon-Ra, Sewell, Frank, that's probably it. I don't know whether I'm being unnecessarily harsh to some people out there, but, you know, Anzalone's put himself in that conversation for me as a sort of roster cornerstone piece.
Yeah.
All right. Very, very briefly, as we've run long as we always do, but I was going to talk about the rest of Sunday's games, but I'm not going to, but I am going to bring up Sunday Night Football, boys. Does anyone stay up to watch the heroic Denver Broncos?
I did watch some of
that. Watched the first quarter.
How funny is it for the Vikings, when we snatch victory from the jaws of defeat, to do the exact opposite when they've been running their mouth about Josh Jobs?
The Broncos are back. I'm up on the train that, yeah, they've turned it around quickly and look a credible threat.
They're going to make the playoffs, like 100%.
They're definitely in their contention yet to be a good wild card team. Like, Cortland Sutton right now is playing some of the best football in the league as a wide receiver. He's making big play after big play. And yeah, but the Vikings, I love the Josh Dobbs story. I like the guy. It just never felt like long term. Like, he's gonna just do it week in, week out, the crown were gonna slip eventually. He'll come back, but yeah, he's gonna have some rough weeks. Hopefully, 15, 17, and 18. But I don't fear him. I don't fear him in the slightest. I feel like he's that kind of guy that can revert back to like some of the Cardinal stuff pretty quickly with a bit of pressure. you can force him into those mistakes. But yeah, they missed a trick. They're going to learn to rue that loss very quickly. They should not have let that one slip by.
Right. I'm going to draw this one to a slightly premature close, potentially, because this is going to be a very long week for us. Packers preview is tomorrow. College pods the day after. Thanksgiving's on Thursday. We'll be live during the Packers game. Review show's coming after that. So roar the Lions all week long, baby. But we're going to cut this one slightly short just to accommodate all of that. So you can find us on our socials on Royal Lions UK on YouTube, Twitch, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. And the group for worldwide fans on Facebook is Detroit Lions Fans UK One Pride Worldwide. The website, rotluk.com. Don't forget to have a look out for the articles there. And you can subscribe and rate us 5 stars on your podcast provider. That does the world of good for us and getting out there to the people. Guys, it's been fun having this many of us on the show. It's been a welcome thing, especially when we beat the Bears. Nothing could be sweeter than the manner that we did it as well. But another in-division game coming up, and we're going to talk about that tomorrow. Steve, Ryan, and Ash, thank you for doing this with me. I'm Matt. Guys in the chat on the audio pod, we'll see you soon. But for now, it's the 8-2 Lions, baby, for the first time in 61 years. Let's go, Lions. One pride.
One pride and FTP.
FTP on Thursday, boys. FTP.
Everything you hold dear.